It is trade deadline day. We're coming at you at 9:24 a.m. I don't know why I had to be so specific about the time, but 4 p.m. Eastern today is the trade deadline. So tomorrow's show is going to be pretty nuts. Today we definitely have some trades to talk about, some closer news, of course. Keone Kelly getting moved this morning, Roberto Osuna and Ken Giles yesterday.
You assume tomorrow's show is going to be nuts.
Oh, it will be. It should
be. Yet last night may have been nutsier. Maybe.
Really?
I don't know.
Really?
Maybe. I mean, a lot's already happened. Maybe more will happen. Maybe bigger things will happen. Maybe very little will happen. You just never know going into the trade deadline. But I can say with confidence that a lot has already happened, a lot more than we normally see at a trade deadline.
Okay, good. Well, hopefully we have some more fireworks for tomorrow's show. That's Scott White. I'm Adam Azer, and we welcome back Christopher Towers.
Yo.
When was the last time someone called you Christopher?
I would say my wife calls me Christopher pretty regularly. You know, the when you're in trouble or, you know, you're being annoying, it's Christopher, not Chris. So
Christopher,
that happens. I don't want to do like the, you know, the sitcom husbandy thing, but you know, that happens.
It does.
I'm annoying.
No. So, Chris, Heath, by the way, is Heath, by the way, is on vacation. We'll get him back next week. All right, we'll start with the trades. We had some pitcher's duels last night at Fenway Park and in Seattle as well. Are they? That's not still Safeco, is it? Is it Safeco?
I think so.
Okay. In Seattle. And Robbie Ray did not pitch.
It's Safeco Field.
It's Safeco? Okay. So we had a pitcher's duel there. We've got Carlos Martinez news. We got Johnny Cueto news. I got so much music queued up later on today. Guess who's coming back? The fantasy regulators are coming back. I got Grade the Trade as well. And a couple other categories that require some music. Let's start with the trades. The relief pitcher trades. Houston acquires Roberto Osuna, who is now eligible to return on Sunday. And they give up Ken Giles and two minor league pitchers. And Giles will get a chance to close for the Blue Jays. And he, as Scott pointed out in his article, and as we pointed out on the podcast, Ken Giles has not blown a save. Has he given up a run in a save situation all year? I don't think he has.
I don't think he has either.
He also he hasn't been as bad. He hasn't been as bad as his numbers. Like, there's some weird stuff going on with Ken Giles. Obviously, he punched himself in the face.
Yeah, he did.
So that's weird. But there's also some weird stuff going on with his slider. It's not moving as much. And, you know, this is a bit of a reclamation project for the Astros. But also, his peripherals are still really, really good.
Well,
his FIP, I believe, is 220-something.
And
but he's gone to the minors and he's been in the minors the last week and a half and has had the same issue. Like, he has an ERA over 8 at AAA right now, mostly just because of one awful outing that happened very recently. So it's not like you're not adding Ken Giles with confidence, but you're probably adding him if you need saves because we know the upside and they've said he's going to get a chance. I don't know how soon that'll be. I don't know if he's on the major league roster right away. But it'll happen because Clippard and Tapera, I mean, they haven't. Neither of them has emerged as the guy with Roberto Osuna out.
Yeah. Now, what about Osuna? So this is it for Hector Rondon. Osuna's going to be the closer.
I would assume so. Like, I don't know why.
Maybe not immediately. You know, maybe it takes another a week.
I don't know other than getting a ninth inning option they can feel more confident in than Rondon, then obviously Giles. I would imagine that's why the Astros are willing to make this trade and take on, take the PR hit, I guess, for somebody who, you know, is obviously not
going to work here anymore.
Well, no, you know what I'm saying.
I do. Look, it was obviously a controversial trade to acquire Osuna.
Yeah.
He's really good. We think he's going to be good, you know? He's going to be himself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see no reason to think he wouldn't be.
Yeah, so he's a must-add player. I actually don't know what his ownership percentage is. Anybody got that?
I think it was owned in 2/3 of leagues when I looked last night.
Yeah.
But I want to finish the thought, when the Astros gave up all they did for Ken Giles, back when Giles was at the Phillies, I thought, oh, it's obvious they're acquiring him to be the closer. Why else would they do that if not? And then he wasn't the closer for like his first half season there. So just the way that the Astros are non-traditional on their bullpen usage, like it, I'm 85% confident Ozuna's going to be their closer, but I can't say 100%.
Okay, and he is 68% owned. The other move here, the Pirates acquire Keone Kella from Texas, so that is the end of Keone Kella's value, right? Can we drop him?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I think they've already said that he's not, or our reporters have said that he's not going to be a closer.
And I don't know if it's going to be Jose Leclerc, but it should be Jose Leclerc. He's having a really good year. He's got 56 strikeouts and 39 and 2/3 and a 2.27 ERA. It should be him. Mm-hmm. And I think it was him when Kella was unavailable a couple weekends ago or something like that.
He doesn't have a save yet, Kella.
He blew the save. Yeah. I think he blew the save, yeah.
Diekman, obviously Kella wasn't available to the Rangers last night. It was a 4-run lead. Kella worked the eighth, struck out the side. Sorry, not Kella. Leclerc worked the eighth, struck out the side. Diekman pitched the ninth in a 4-run game. And he's been the eighth inning guy more consistently. So,
but
that leads me to believe he's the early front runner. But he could get traded.
Yeah. There's a very good chance he gets traded. He's been rumored as much as, you know, the rumor for a long time was that him and Leclerc were a package deal.
Okay. Kella?
Yes, sorry. Kella and
you just
Diekman.
Did the same thing I did.
Kella and Diekman were a package.
And I would say even if Diekman isn't traded, like I would still expect Leclerc to overtake him at some point because Diekman allows a ton of base runners.
Yeah, all right. So Leclerc is – I actually picked him up in a fairly deep league. I have like 5 closers on that team now, categories league. Leclerc, that is. He's 5% owned. Diekman's another guy you could pick up, but let's see what happens today. So a couple of relief pitcher emails. Jason in Michigan, should I drop AJ Minter for Roberto Ozuna?
I don't think so. Like I get the idea, but Ozuna might not be better than Minter, and he might not be the closer. Like Scott said, you know, we're pretty confident he will be, but you know, I could see it going one of two ways with Houston. I could see them wanting to keep him out of high pressure situations, given the pushback that they're going to receive for this move. And, you know, Roberto Ozuna coming back from this, he dealt with anxiety issues last season. Maybe they want to ease him back in. So there's a chance he's not the closer, and there's a chance that AJ Minter is 95% as good as him.
Okay. And then next email from AB. Rank these closers: Will Smith, AJ Minter, Ken Giles, Sergio Romo, and Jose Leclerc. Will Smith, AJ Minter, both of them getting saves yesterday. Well, did Smith get a save or a win? I know he had 4 strikeouts.
He got a win.
He got a win.
He got a win.
Minter got a save. Giles, Romo, Leclerc.
So there's 5 pitchers named here. Scott, I'm going to set the over-under at 1.5 are still closing for their team in 3 weeks. What are you taking?
I will take the over.
Over.
But okay. I get why you said it is that. Like, Minter is the one I feel best about. And even he, there's the potential Rodis Vizcaíno comes back and reclaims the job.
Yep.
Yeah.
But to rank them, I'll go Minter. I guess I'll go Giles. Minter, Giles. The rest.
Smith, Leclerc, Romo.
Yeah, I guess that's the way I'd go too. I'll have a much better answer tomorrow because Romo could move up to, you know, the top of that list.
Yeah,
he's the one who might just have a job for the rest of the season.
Yeah. More trades. The Red Sox acquired Ian Kinsler from the Angels for 2 minor league pitchers. Kinsler has been better lately. He's been much better at home than on the road, but he's obviously getting a big park upgrade. July, he's hit .320 with 2 home runs, 2 steals, 7 walks, 10 strikeouts, yeah, whatever. Value up, down are the same for Ian Kinsler.
I think the change of scenery just that could do him some good, because he has a 237 BABIP this year, which is obviously very low, and it doesn't make a lot of sense if you look at the batted ball profile. Line drive rate is good.
244 last year, so.
Yeah, I know.
He might just be.
But that doesn't make sense if you look at the batted ball profile either.
He's Matt Carpenter.
Yeah, except he doesn't. He's old. He hits a lot of infield fly balls.
Pop-ups.
He looks like someone who may be infield fly balls, maybe selling out for power in a way that gets worrisome as he ages. But
that's a good place for him to go.
Right.
My biggest percentage, high fly ball percentage at Fenway for a right-handed hitter.
My biggest concern would not be performance with him. I think he'll play better there than he has so far. Is he going to play every single day? That's my concern.
Yeah, Brock Holtz, Eduardo Nunez. Once Devers is on the DL, so, I mean, that helps too. But once Devers is back, you got Nunez, you got Brock Holtz, you got Ian Kinsler. Kinsler or Moncada?
Oh, Moncada.
Yep.
Kinsler or Neil Walker?
Kinsler.
Oh, Kinsler.
Oh, Kinsler. Okay, that's fine with me. Kinsler or Ketel Marte?
Marte.
Yep.
All right, more trades. The Yankees got Lance Lynn for Tyler Austin and Luis Rojo. Lynn is going to be a swingman in the bullpen and make some spot starts. Atlanta acquired Adam Duvall. This was interesting. They gave up pitchers Lucas Sims and Matt Whistler and outfielder Preston Tucker for Duvall. I did notice Ender Inciarte is batting .207 with a .234 slugging against lefties. Is that what's going on here? Is Adam Duvall going to start against lefties?
There was a lot of talk of that on among Braves beat writers. So that I would suspect that at least happens some of the time. Now, replacing Inciarte with Acuna in center field is a defensive downgrade on those days. And if you look at Inciarte's track record, he's been just as good against lefties as righties for his career. This year's kind of an aberration as far as that goes. So I would actually rather see him keep playing against lefties and Duvall just come off the bench. But either way, even if Duvall's the lesser half of a platoon, his value's basically shot outside of deep in all only leagues. And Inciarte's definitely takes a hit.
Yeah. Inciarte is 89% owned, and he just, it's been a weird season for him. He got off to that great start. He was stealing so many bases. Just hasn't been very good for a little while and moved out of that leadoff spot.
One rationale for making this trade, obviously Nick Markakis is a free agent after the season. Duvall has a few more years of team control left, so next year there's a good chance he does have a job, but can't rule the Braves out bringing someone else in either.
And, you know, a couple things have happened recently that have been good for Billy Hamilton, if you were worried about him losing playing time. Obviously, Winker out for the season, and now Duvall on the Braves. So they could still be active today before the deadline, but Hamilton, I mean, looks like he's an everyday player, you'd think. Seattle.
Yeah, he's been hitting well.
Has he?
I mean, relatively speaking. He has a 647 OPS in the month of July, but he's running a lot over the last couple of months, and he's hitting like 270 in the month of July.
I'll take
the
that.
One I'm really excited about is Scott Schebler, who's on a rehab assignment, should be back from the DL soon. And in his final 36 games, I don't have the exact stat in front of me, but he had an OPS over 900 for like over a month before going on the DL. And as somebody who has reverse platoon splits, so you don't have to worry about him against left-handers, I think he could be somebody who impacts even three outfielder leagues down the stretch.
Oh, all right, Scott Schebler. Two more things. Seattle got Adam Warren from the Yankees for international bonus pool money, not fantasy relevant. And the Nationals, oh, it would be fun if they traded Bryce Harper. That would be fun to talk about tomorrow. Let's see what happens. Pitchers duels yesterday. Fenway, and it's Safeco, guys. It was at Safeco. By the way, I forgot to mention, we do have something coming up on the show. We've got... Grade the Trade. He's about to say the word school. And I'm never going back to my old school. He said school. This is a good song, actually. I didn't know it, and then I got shamed for not knowing it by one of our loyal listeners, David. Some listener recommended using this, and I was like, I don't know this song. And then David texted me. We're buddies. And he's like, what? You don't know this song? It's a great song. It's a very good song. Steely Dan, My Old School. Grade the Trades coming up later. And let's do this pitcher's duel segment here. Aaron Nola, David Price, James Paxton, Gerrit Cole. They combine to allow 4 earned runs. Very impressive stuff. Gerrit Cole is the number 4 starting pitcher in fantasy. Aaron Nola is the number 5 starting pitcher in fantasy. James Paxton is breaking out this year. And David Price has been solid lately. Last 3 starts, 4 earned runs in 21 innings with 18 strikeouts. Gets the Yankees at home this weekend. Gasp. Chris, what do you think about these pitcher's duels last night?
Would you like to hear a hot take?
Oh, yeah. Bring it.
If I was voting for National League Most Valuable Player, Aaron Nola would get my vote today.
That's
hot take.
Dumb. But you're I did tweet over the weekend, who's your NL MVP? And I said, is it Javier Baez? I thought that's a fairly hot take.
Get out of here with your RBI.
No, I like
it's not 1992.
Hey, I like the way he plays 3 positions in the infield. He plays them well. He runs.
Does he pitch?
I mean, he does have a 4.1 WAR 2/3 of the way through the season.
Yeah, he's good.
I don't think he's a bad candidate.
Yeah, I think it's Arenado, but I think Baez.
Freddie Freeman's 4.4. Look up Arenado.
Lorenzo Cain is among the NL leaders in WAR. Somehow,
Arenado's 4.3. I mean, Kane usually has a high WAR because he's so good defensively.
4.6.
What do we think about Nola, Price, Paxton, and Cole? Chris, give me some fantasy analysis.
I mean, the only one that is even worth analyzing is David Price, right? Like the other 3 are studs. They're, I think, potentially all top 12 starters moving forward. They're all young enough that if you're in a keeper league, they should be valued about as much as anyone outside of the top 2 or 3 pitchers in baseball. They're really, really good. James Paxton still has a little bit of injury risk, but he's awesome. Aaron Nola's really good. There's not a lot to say about those guys. David Price, he's been better of late. The peripherals have been solid. He's still prone to some weird blow-ups like the 4 runs in 4 2/3 innings against the Royals, but the strikeouts have been there. He hasn't walked hardly anyone over the last month and a half. I'm optimistic about him more so than I have been, but I still think he's probably a high 3 ZRA guy.
Okay, David Price. Do we care going into next year? Do we care that Aaron Nola has had a cake schedule? It's been so easy. And that's why this start at Boston is very cool. 8 innings, 1 run on 4 hits. Does that matter to anybody for Nola?
A cake schedule.
So easy. I mean, his division is pathetic.
I haven't heard any rumors about division realignment. So, that does not concern me.
Lewis Brinson's going to hit like 180 next year.
I mean, there's a good chance to play off. There's a good chance 2 playoff teams come out of that division, and one of them is not the Nationals.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
I don't know
that I buy this cake division.
I looked at the whole schedule. It's been pretty favorable.
But also, you look at the schedule, and it's like 8 innings, 1 run against Boston. A quality start against the Cubs. 4
just
runs
say no.
in 12 innings against
just
the Dodgers.
Just say no. That's fine. I'm just looking for talking points. Just say no.
Yeah, one bad start against Milwaukee. Like he's been.
I'm not a chicken. You're a turkey.
Monday stand out. Scott White, who stood out to you on Monday?
Who stood out to mine own self? Well, I would say Robert Ray stood out in an unfavorable way.
Yeah, bad.
That Robert Ray, 4 walks, 6 strikeouts, 4 earned runs in 5 1/3 innings. Yeah, I don't think you can have much confidence in him as we enter the stretch run here. Still a lot of upside, strikeout rate, swinging strike rate that measures up to anybody. But it's those other 2 other two FIP measurements, the other two legs of the FIP triangle, walks and home runs. He's just he had some really good bat at ball luck last year that he's not having again.
Scott, is Robbie Ray droppable or should we stash him?
I don't think he's droppable. I just don't think you can count on him. I think he'll be on your bench pretty often.
Oh, then why isn't he droppable? Why isn't he? Come on, think about that.
Well, because Scott, if he blows up, like,
take a page out of my book.
You want to what?
Say he's droppable and he'll almost throw a no-hitter in his next start.
that's what I'm worried about.
No, don't be worried about looking like an idiot.
No, it's not that I'm worried about looking like an idiot. It's that I'm worried about missing out on huge potential.
Yeah,
I don't think he's unusable in his current state. I just don't think he's must start. And obviously, there's a lot of people who have him who are holding out hope that he will become that. And I don't think I think it's less than 50-50 he will.
All right, that's Robbie Ray. I get what you're saying. And Chris is talking about Sean Newcomb. Chris, who's your standout from Monday?
Let's go with Marcell Ozuna, who has been hot, home ran a bunch. He's got a little six-game hitting streak going, and it's been a rough season for our guy Marcell. But I still believe in the potential. I still would want to start him more often than not, and I think he's someone who could have a big third of the season. Not second half at this point.
No, it's not second half. It's getting late. Now, it's a home run in three straight games, a six-game hitting streak for Marcell Ozuna. Three home runs in his last three games, and here are his numbers in July. 218 with three home runs. So I did start him because he had a seven-game week.
Yeah.
I'm glad I did. But, yeah, he hasn't walked much this year. It's been a really terrible year for him.
And I'll throw out Rougned Odor as another standout. He has just continued to be awesome and probably approaching must-own territory
at this
point.
Another home run for Rougned Odor. Scott talked about him on yesterday's show. And I'm going to throw out one more standout here. I'm going to throw out the SeatGeek app. The SeatGeek app is our Monday standout. It's going to be the Tuesday standout, the Wednesday standout, etc. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone, and Chris talked about all these weird concerts of musicians that I've never heard of that he has seen thanks to the SeatGeek app. I'm more likely to use it for a Yankees game. But whatever it is, if you want to go to a game, comedy, concert, theater, any type of live event, you need a last-minute deal, or you're planning a night out, or you're looking for a great gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Every purchase, fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. And in case you're not aware, SeatGeek is just becoming much bigger and bigger and bigger. Is it because of our listeners and our podcast? I'm not saying it is, but yeah, I mean, of course, it's all thanks to you guys. Download the SeatGeek app. You want to save some money? Use the code FANTASY for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Use that code FANTASY for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. It's so easy to use. You look for an event. It pulls in a lot of results for you. It gives every ticket a grade based on value. And then you find the best deals. And again, you pop in that promo code FANTASY for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event, and we have the tickets. News and notes. Carlos Martinez is probably going back on the DL. He left with a mild shoulder strain. It is a frustrating year for Martinez. Do you think Daniel Ponce de Leon steps into the rotation?
One would assume he will, yeah.
Are you interested in Daniel Ponce de Leon?
In deeper leagues.
There's Austin Gomer, too, right?
Yeah. Gomer Pyle.
They both look good. So, I need to see whoever it is, I need to see more from them before I actually make a move for them. I mean, there was not like their front line, top of the charts prospects.
Johnny Cueto may need Tommy John surgery. So, like, where are we on my hot take on Cueto after his first start of the year? Like, what do we think? Did I get this one right?
I think you get it right if I get my 3-year-old prediction that he'll need Tommy John surgery right. If you give me that,
of limitations,
then I'll give you your.
All right, fine. Well, Cueto, are you guys cool dropping Johnny Cueto, or do we want to wait for more news?
Yeah, I think it's fine to drop him.
All right. I heard on the Red Sox-Phillies game last night, fun broadcast. They got to the 13th inning and those guys got like so loopy and they just started talking about like the longest games they've ever called and this and that was funny. But earlier in the game, that was on ESPN, they mentioned that Reese Hoskins said that participating in the Home Run Derby helped him. It helped him be aggressive plate side or something like that, and he's been able to carry it over into the season. That was really interesting. Carlos Correa could go on a rehab assignment soon. Scott, we talked about it yesterday, but let's talk about it again. Colby Allard is going to start for the Braves tonight. Interested?
I'm not interested in picking him up because it could be short-lived, first of all, and the strikeout rate in the minors is it was bad. It was a bad strikeout rate. He's a good prospect, but that doesn't always end well. We've seen from Aaron Nola, he didn't have great strikeout numbers in the minors, and he figured it out in the majors. Jameson Taillon, to a certain extent, you could say the same, but Allard's was even worse than theirs. And I feel like that's not something you should necessarily count on happening. So I hope he does well, but I'm not confident.
Josh Donaldson has been moved to the 60-day DL, which is not a big deal because he got hurt about 60 days ago. He's resumed baseball activity. Do we have a Josh Donaldson update? People want to know what's going on with Josh Donaldson.
I haven't seen anything actionable. I'm still holding on to him. I think, you know, a buy-low opportunity is still there.
Okay. All right, that's Josh Donaldson. Oakland scored 4 runs at Colorado over the weekend. They scored 10 runs against Toronto yesterday. That's baseball. Let's check in on those rookies. The guys who, you know, we sort of like live and die with every start of theirs. Should we add them? Should we drop them? What should we do? Shane Bieber and Freddy Peralta. All right, drop Freddy Peralta, yes or no? We done?
I don't know why we'd be more likely to drop Freddy Peralta than Shane Bieber.
Because of control.
Well, and Shane Bieber just had a good start. Freddy Peralta it was a quality start. It was 7 more than a strikeout per inning. Only 2 walks, which was, I think, equaled his season high.
Yeah.
Freddy Peralta, meanwhile, 4 of his last 5 starts have not been very good, and in all 5, 3 or more walks. I definitely think Shane Bieber's better than Freddy Peralta.
Yeah, that the way you described all that stuff sounds like recency bias. Like Shane Bieber's been pretty awful his last 5 starts.
Well, he had one terrible start.
He had one really bad start. But if you, he went 6 innings. I think he went 6 innings or more in the others.
Six innings, 4 runs, that kind of stuff.
6 of his last 7 starts, he's gone 6 innings or more. That's so, like, I feel like he's kind of another Porcello because he's so efficient. He's going deep into games. He's 5-2. And I don't see why that would change with the Indians, you know, lineup backing him.
Take out the bad start. The one bad start. And he has a 4.9 ERA over the last 5 starts. So, like, if we're going to say Freddy Peralta's been bad 4 of his last 5 starts, well, Shane Bieber's been bad. Like, his best start is a quality start.
But sometimes it's how you get there, right? And the thing is, I'm not sure either of them is going to lead me to fantasy glory, but if I had to drop one of them right now, it would be Peralta because he had control issues in the minors, and right now he's all over the place.
I think they're both worth owning. I think they both have some upside. They both have a mid-3s FIP for their season so far. I'm fine with dropping either. I'm fine with hanging on to either. I just don't think there's a significant difference. I think Peralta probably has more upside.
I think Bieber's 4.50 ERA is much more usable than if Peralta has a 4.50 ERA because his whip will be lower and he'll have a lot more innings.
His whip is crazy high.
Who's?
Shane Bieber's.
Yeah, he gives up a lot of hits. I'm concerned because he is such a strike thrower. I do see teams just sort of like tee off on him a little bit, but it hasn't really translated other than that one awful start. Although he's given up a lot of hits, right?
.373 BABIP, which is obviously not going to continue.
I don't know.
If he's this good of a control pitcher, he's not going to have a high whip. Like, it's not going to happen.
Unless he gets
11
hit
hits
really
per
hard.
Nine.
Unless
Come
he gets
on.
Hit really hard. It's like maybe a little Taiwan Walker.
He would have to be an outlier in terms of how hittable he is among all major league pitchers, though. Like, you don't see somebody have a 373 BABIP for the whole season very often.
Would you guys drop Bieber or Peralta? I'm trying to think of some of the guys we talked about yesterday. For Herman Marquez.
I think it's six and one, half dozen the other. For all three of those guys.
How about for Joe Musgrove?
I would rather have Musgrove than any of them.
Scott?
I would take Musgrove over Peralta, but there's just not... There doesn't seem to be much swing and miss in his game.
All right. How about Drew Pomeranz?
No. He hasn't shown anything since getting called up or since returning. His velocity has been down all year. I don't see anything there.
All right. Let's move on. I've got some important questions for you guys. I was going to ask, is Marcell Ozuna back? But Chris is a segment stealer. So I will go to our next question. Is Elvis Andrews back? Elvis Andrews has a 976 OPS and four steals in his last 14 games. Is Elvis Andrews back?
I think he is.
Yeah, I think he's just good.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have a season more like 2016 when he hit 8 home runs rather than 2017, but he was the number 6 shortstop at fantasy that year, so Andrews looks good. Next question. Are we worried about this little Max Muncy slump? He is 2-for-26 with 12 strikeouts in his last 7 games. Are we worried at all about this little Max Muncy slump?
It's the home run derby. It's
gotta be
the derby.
Good call.
He needs to be more aggressive like Rhys Hoskins.
It's a great call, though. I forgot about that. Well, are you worried at all?
Like if I'm going to abandon my convictions over a 25 at bat stretch for Max Muncy, what are my convictions worth, Adam? They're worthless.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Is Tommy Pham droppable? That's our next important question. Is Tommy Pham droppable?
Maybe for like. Sure. In a 10-team, 3 outfielder league. And I think he's still like 96% owned. So
yeah, 98.
It could probably be 98. Yeah, it could probably be lower than that. I don't know that it should be lower than like 88. I still think there's a good chance he busts out of this slump in a big way over the final 2 months and he's getting at it everywhere again. But you get to a shallow enough league, like you can wait for that to play out. You don't need to devote a roster spot to him, given what I assume is the other high quality players on waiver wire.
All right, that's Tommy Pham. He has sat, I think, 2 of his last 6 games, something to keep an eye on. But his hard contact rate is through the roof. 47.5% hard contact rate for Pham, 12.9% soft contact rate. That's outstanding. He keeps
referring, because we talk about his vision issues every time we talk about him, and maybe that's affecting him. I read recently that there's a mechanical issue that he keeps bringing up whenever reporters talk to him, and he just can't quite seem to get it right. He goes and watches videos after every game, and he's like, "Nope, it's still there." Mm-hmm. So he seems to know something that needs fixing. He's struggling to fix it right now.
Next important question: who are the relief pitchers to stash now?
Well, Jose Leclerc was the biggest one for me, so that ship has sailed. Maybe like Drew Steckenrider, though it's possible he gets traded himself.
I think I've got an eye on Jeremy Jeffress. Because Knebel was bad again last night. It's not going to be a trade.
Right.
But Jeffress is so good this year. And they're going for it. I think Knebel is like one blown save away from being on the hot seat and two blown saves away from being removed. That's a hot take for you.
I don't hate that take. Seems plausible to me.
And I don't know that the Twins would care enough to remove Fernando Rodney, but he got a save last night. I think he walked two, but he was terrible in Fenway Park last week, which is no surprise. He's like a 5.50 ERA in his life against the Red Sox. But I don't know, Trevor Hildenberger, is that the guy?
I guess. I kind of liked Ryan Presley, but then he got traded to the Astros. I don't know why Rodney himself wouldn't get traded.
Not doing much to help his value right now.
I guess somebody has to want him.
Yeah.
I just feel like, I mean, obviously he's not going to be a qualifying offer guy in the offseason, so they'd take whatever for him.
All right, next question, next important question. I'm going to give this one to Chris. When do buy low candidates become busts? Still waiting on Brian Dozier and Carlos Santana in Roto to break out of it, but we are about 110 games into the season. When do buy low candidates become busts?
It all depends on what the underlying stuff is. Like, people were giving up on Matt Carpenter. You know, that's the go-to, and it was, you know, people in the emails very confidently saying, you guys are idiots. Matt Carpenter is worthless. The shift has ruined him. He's not good. Well, okay. So that's what you say, man. And yeah. So...
A little exaggeration there.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's a little generalization. You take like a few emails, you apply it to everybody. That's not
right,
what
no,
everybody
no, I'm
was
not saying
thinking.
Everybody was saying that, but there were people, and yeah. The chorus was growing louder. And it was, well, you know, all the peripherals are good, but the shift... And it's like, maybe, but you still... You have to have a process with these things, and you have to have... You have to look at it scientifically, and you have to have hypotheses that you can test and then change when new information comes in. Mm-hmm. And you have to be consistent. And that's my thing, is that like if new information comes in, and we're going to talk about a guy who has done the opposite, has just continued to be really good. He's next up on the notes and nothing about it looks sustainable.
Right.
I'm going to keep telling you to sell Ian Desmond.
Right, right.
So it depends on the individual player and what they're doing.
So do you still think Brian Dozier is going to bust out? Is he going to have a Dozier second half? I'm sorry, I'm losing a little faith.
I would expect no. I don't think he's going to have 1,000 OPS. We've had this discussion before. I don't believe he's due. I think he'll be Brian Dozier moving forward, and what that means is I think he'll be pretty good with hot streaks and cold streaks.
Yeah. All right. And, do you realize that Ian Desmond is the number 6 first baseman in fantasy since June 1st? That is 2 months. He's 6th in points and Roto. It's one thing Roto, but points, that's crazy for Ian Desmond. He's usually so bad in that format. But 24 walks and 47 strikeouts since June 1st, that's amazing for him. Only Whit Merrifield has more steals among first base eligible players in those 2 months. And I don't know what to say. I can't get Ian Desmond off my points league team. And he just keeps on producing. Scott?
Yeah.
And
he's
Scott,
actually been
sorry.
Walking.
Yeah, a little bit, right? Yeah, a little bit. Go ahead, guys. My bad.
If somebody, like Chris was saying, if somebody makes you an offer for him like he actually is a top 10 first baseman, then I think you take it because there's a lot not to like about his batted ball profile. Just an extremely high ground ball percentage. You wonder how he hits home runs at all.
Well, but, here's how. He has a 40% home run to fly ball rate over his last 48 games, which is going back to June 1st. That's not even Coors Field. Half of that would be generous. At half of that, I would still be like, well, Ian Desmond's been a little lucky.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, I don't imagine he has that much trade value. It doesn't hurt to shop him. Probably, most likely, you're just going to ride this for however long it lasts and expect it not to last forever.
All right, let's get moving here and read 6 emails in 3 minutes. This is from Jason. I'm in a head-to-head categories league, and I'm trying to figure out who's the odd man out at second base. Scope, Daniel Murphy, Jose Peraza. Who's the odd man out? Scope, Daniel Murphy, Jose Peraza.
Probably Murphy. I don't know that would drop Murphy, but he seems the least startable in a categories league right now.
Well, you got to drop one.
You have to drop one?
In this game, yes, you do. We have to make tough decisions.
I think if I have to drop one, it's probably Peraza, unless I have stolen base sources coming from somewhere else.
All right, this is from No Name. Explain your Yolish Chacin hate. He's been the best free agent pitcher signing of the offseason, and every week you give him no love, and the peripherals are great for Yolish Chacin. That's what No Name says. They're not great.
What peripherals are you looking at?
They're not. That's the thing.
They're fine. Like they look like an average pitcher.
Like the main thing is the reason he's been so successful is his .259 BABIP.
Yeah.
And like last year he had a .272 BABIP, and that seemed too good to be true. It's only gotten more outlandish because it's not like he it's a lot of weak contact. It's not like he prevents line drives, gets a ton of fly balls. He shouldn't have that low of a BABIP. And if that corrects, then we're going to see the ERA rise significantly, I think.
Yoelis Chacin, that we're talking about. Would you rather have Chacin or Freddy Peralta?
Peralta. There's more upside.
There is more upside.
But that cannot be the answer always, you know?
No, especially in August. I agree. It can't be the answer always.
It is for me.
It can't be, Chris.
If I was setting my lineup for next week, I would put Chacin in over Peralta.
From Adam.
Not with a lot of faith long term.
Adam is a first-time fantasy baseball player. He needs some playoff advice. What's valued more in the playoffs, good pitching lineup or more solid hitting lineup? I don't think there is an answer to that. I don't think anything changes.
If you could figure out a way to match up your starting pitchers so that your two start pitchers are heavily weighted in the playoffs, I guess that, but that's not really realistic. So,
yeah, I wouldn't worry about it too much, Adam. I think
whatever your strength is.
Yeah. From Lance, 12 team head to head, Chapman or Escobar? Matt Chapman or Eduardo Escobar? I'm worried about Escobar's playing time at Arizona.
Well, it doesn't seem to have been an issue so far. I know Jake Lamb's on the DL, but I don't know that it's going to be just a short stay for Lamb either. I think I'd rather have Escobar.
I was thinking Chapman.
He's been really hot, Chapman has.
Yeah.
So I think he's closed the gap significantly over the past few weeks.
And hey, real quick from Jason, Muncy or Rendon rest of season?
I would still go with Rendon.
Okay. Scott, you get number two. Muncy. You get number two. Rank these four rest of season in a points league. Clevinger, Rich Hill, Rodon, Quintana. Clevinger, Hill.
Clevinger. Rodon. I think I might move Rodon up to number two.
Whoa, over Rich Hill?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have Rich Hill fourth.
Whoa, behind Quintana?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
Well.
Nah, Rich Hill's healthy. For now.
For how long?
For now!
For how long? I don't think rest of way.
All right, that's it. Thank you very much to all of our emailers. Back to the notes. Double dongs from yesterday. Jose Ramirez, 2 home runs. He is the number one overall hitter in fantasy. He has 32 home runs. He also stole a base yesterday, and he has 24 steals, and he's amazing. Shin-Soo Choo also double donged yesterday. Shin-Soo Choo is the number 11 outfielder in points, and he's number 19 in Roto. And he has never hit more than 22 home runs, and he has 20 home runs. Chris, what do you think about Shin-Soo Choo-Choo-Choo's you?
He's good. He's not this good. He's good. It's been a nice season. I worry about a trade. That's my biggest concern, that he gets traded somewhere where he's not an everyday player.
Okay. Well, that's going to do it for the Double Dong segment. And now a little more music for you. Got a couple of pitchers who are just surprisingly good. So I ask you, Dave Matthews. Is this real or am I dreaming? Edwin Jackson and Derek Holland. And am I dreaming to think that I'm going to start Edwin Jackson against the Tigers this weekend, who he already crushed with 6 scoreless innings and 7 strikeouts in his first start of the season? What do we think? Is this real?
I don't think either is good, but I do think Derek Holland is better than he's gotten credit for. He has more than a strikeout per inning this year, and it's with by far the best swinging strike rate of his career. Obviously, he has a home venue that really, it kind of smooths out the rough edges for him. He has job security with Cueto down. I think he's a streamable option now. I don't think there's really that much separating him from somebody like Yulish Chacin, let's say. Sure. So, okay. So to some degree, it's real.
Adam, can I ask you a question?
Yes, you can.
Do you actually like Dave?
Matthews?
Yeah, Dave.
Do people just call him Dave?
Dave fans call him Dave.
Is there a person named Dave Matthews, or is that just the band's name?
No, that's him. He's Dave Matthews.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to hear the hottest take, that Adam Azer's hottest take, and I give a lot of crazy pop culture takes?
Okay.
So I love 90s music. Love 90s music. And yeah. Everybody, when you rank the top 10 or whatever, top however many 90s rock songs, what's number one, Chris? It's always the same.
It Smells Like Teen Spirit.
It always Smells Like Teen Spirit. Now, I've already said I think Jeremy's better than Smells Like Teen Spirit, but that's fine. I don't care.
Ridiculous.
Number two on the list behind Smells Like Teen Spirit is Ants Marching by Dave Matthews. I think that is...
That's your pick?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why.
So disappointed.
I think...
Like, I can't be disappointed, but you've gone into the basement now.
Why? Because this is why. I think he inspired so much acoustic rock with that song. And we have to give him credit for just how influential Dave Matthews Band has been.
So your argument is that song is good because it inspired Jason Mraz.
Well, sure. And Guster and Dispatch and all these other like bands. But wait, you don't think Ants Marching is good?
Look, man.
You're an idiot. No, you're crazy.
I've seen Dave and his band live.
That song's amazing, dude. That's an amazing song.
What would you say?
That song's okay. Ants Marching is amazing. Next up, I'm not gonna play the music. I'm fine. I'll play the music. Here we go. Can I get a witness? We're talking about Mark Canna right now. He's 11% owned. He has a .661 slugging percentage against lefties. Do you think Mark Canna should be owned in daily leagues?
Yeah. I think he's definitely usable in those leagues. So it's just a matter of what kind of full-time player you'd be dropping for him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But I like him against lefties, and he plays against every lefty. So there's some utility there.
Okay, that was fun. Can I get a witness? What else we got from yesterday? We got Tyler Anderson. He was good enough. He was whatever. He was fine. Four runs in six innings. That's one of his worst starts recently. Kenta Maeda was dreadful. Little blip on the radar here for Kenta Maeda.
Yeah, he'd been so good.
Might get another blip this weekend, though.
What about Julio Teheran? Dropper or hold Julio Teheran? 88% owned. Two straight starts against the Marlins. And 9 1/3 innings and a combined 10 runs in those two starts.
Drop. Like, he's had stretches where he's looked interesting this season, but it's in that old pitcher, I'm going to throw my breaking balls a bunch and hope that I can succeed that way because my stuff's not good anymore way, and that can go one way or the other.
Alrighty. And not so motivated to own Irvin Santana, I'm assuming, after last night's start with only one strikeout. Well, he does have the Royals coming up this weekend. Yeah. Would you use him as a streamer? Santana?
Weekend streamer.
Irvin Santana?
Yeah.
His velocity is down like 4 miles per hour.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. I don't think I trust him even against the Royals.
Yeah. How about these guys? They can't hit. Do you think they are over-owned? Justin Bour, 58% owned. Brandon Crawford, 76% owned. Teoscar Hernandez, 60% owned. All of them are having extended cold streaks. Very extended. Justin Bour, Brandon Crawford, Teoscar Hernandez. They're all owned in 58% of leagues or more. What do we think? Worth stashing, or can we get rid of Bour, Crawford, and Teoscar?
I think it's fine to drop Bour, disappointing as that is. I think he's better than this, but it's fine.
I would not drop any of them in a league with the standard Roto lineup. So corner infield spot, five outfielders. I think they're all still plenty rosterable in that format. But the standard head-to-head lineup, I think they're all droppable.
All right, well, we're winding down the show here. We still have to do some regulation. We still have Team Name Tuesday. In fact, I'm going to do Team Name Tuesday right now. Shaw me the Muncie. Winker for Devers, no chance. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hand Solo, a Starling Bowers story. Chris choked up there?
No.
No, you don't like that one?
I mean, I get it. I get what you're going for.
Charlie Morton's War? Forever. Charlie Morton's War.
Yeah, we did these.
We did that?
Yeah.
Oh, you did these last week?
Yep.
Did you do the Beatles ones?
Yes.
Okay, good.
We had a whole segment.
You're saving me time. You're saving me time. Thank you. All right, grade the trade from Will. 6x6 categories, OBP. Give up Corey Kluber. Get Muncy and Jesus Aguilar. Kluber for Muncy and Aguilar.
Ooh. It's a Bold trade. Bold trade. I'm going to give it a... I'm going to give it a C. Even. Even swap.
Okay. This is from Tom in Tottawa. Dear Wojo, Harris, Dietrich, and Fish. Eh? Chris? No?
I have no idea.
Derek's? I don't know. Vince Velasquez. Derek. They're Derek's? I don't know.
No, I don't. Derek Fish.
Derek Fisher. Maybe just typo. Vince Velasquez and Eduardo Escobar for Tyone and Sano. Velasquez and Escobar for Tyone and Sano.
I think that is a B+.
Really like it.
Yep.
Well, Tyone's better than Velasquez, so he wins that half of the deal. I'll give it a C-. I don't like it, but it's not terrible.
This is from Scott, from the home of the Gravity Railroad, wherever that is. Dear Boot, Scoot, and Boost. What?
If the third one was Boogie,
right?
I could,
yeah, that's what I'm.
That I was expecting you to say that.
10-team Roto Keeper League with OBP. I am looking to maintain first place after the Judge injury. I give up a $39 Aaron Judge for a $5 Max Muncy and a $29 Carlos Carrasco. The salaries are pretty close. $39 for Judge, $5 for Muncy, $29 for Carrasco. He's giving up Judge. He's getting the other two.
Hey, that's probably a C+.
I think it's a pretty good deal. B.
B. All right. Last one from Alex. Oh, this is a tough one. No, we're going to... Alex, you get a... You get a B. Anthony, you gave up Chris Sale for Snell and Arrieta. What does he get? Gave up Sale for Snell and Arrieta. I hate this trade.
Yeah, it's a D-.
Yeah. Sorry, Anthony. Making those trades give you a heart attack. And also, thank you for grading trades, giving us trades to grade. Whatever. Say the word school already, Steely Dan. All right.
There you go. School.
Yeah. And more importantly, let's regulate. This is from Tony. Dear Egon, Peter, Ray, and Winston, finally something we know. We are in our inaugural season of a baseball keeper league, and our trade deadline was yesterday. The league had a gentleman's agreement that the trade deadline was at midnight. Uh-oh. Grooving now. Alright, trade deadline was at midnight. A trade was accepted at 12:33 a.m. involving the number one team acquiring Jose Ramirez. Ooh. I, the commissioner, am currently in second place. How do I handle this situation without becoming known as the commissioner who only makes rulings and decisions that benefit him? 33 minutes after the deadline.
Yeah. I mean, a deadline's a deadline. I don't know what kind of what site you're playing on that still allows trades to be processed after what you designate the deadline to be. That's weird. But if everybody knew it was midnight, that's the deadline and trades can't happen after then. I think you're justified.
I agree.
Did you specify time zone?
I don't think that's an issue here, or he would have said. I'm going to say cancel the trade, and you tell them that you have the permission of the fantasy regulators. Next up, we have James from Scotland. Can you regulate this situation in the Scottish Baseball League? I am currently in first place, looking over my shoulder, and today one of the chasing pack made a big trade with the 11th place team. They got Trevor Bauer and JD Martinez. Yikes. And gave up Mark Canna. Can I get it? Mark Canna, Mike Fultonevich, and Jay Happ. They gave up Canna, Fulty, and Happ, and got Trevor Bauer and JD Martinez. And that's the second place team trading with the 11th place team. This is clearly a one-sided trade aimed at helping only one team. The league has been running for many years, and no one has ever vetoed a trade. Am I right to veto this, or can you make the case for this being a legit trade in a 14-team Roto League?
It's obviously not a legit trade, and there's no argument to be made that it is. So the question is, do you want to keep playing in the league with these guys?
Stop. We cannot always go there. We always kick people out and end friendships when the easy thing to do would just veto the damn trade.
Well, is it easy? Like, when he says veto it, is he the commissioner? Does he have authority to just say, no, this I'm independent of what anybody else thinks, I'm invalidating this trade? Because obviously that's a bad look, given A, the league's history with vetoing trades, which is non-existent, and B, the fact you're in first place.
What would you do? Because I think you're right. I think it's important to get an international coalition behind you here. I would reach out to the rest of the league. I would put a message up, and I'd say, guys, I got a major problem with this trade, and see what people say.
So, Adam, I've been reading the Harry Potter books lately.
Okay.
And one of the lessons that you take away from that book is that friendship is very important. And one of the qualities that makes Hermione Granger and Ron Weasley such good friends is their trustworthiness under fire and their bravery and their honesty.
One of the things
I don't
name like four.
I don't know if I want to be friends with people who can't be the Ron Weasley of their fantasy baseball league.
So you're kicking these people out of the league, or you're leaving the league, or what?
I just want to make it clear that these kind of shenanigans wouldn't happen in the Gryffindor House baseball league.
But I'm going to be more diplomatic about it and get a coalition behind me to tell everybody how ridiculous this trade is. This should not happen, and it's going to impact the league. It's going to impact the league for sure. It could decide the league. It's not fair.
I think there definitely needs to be a sit-down talk, and depending on the results of that, like, you do that with the aim of getting this canceled, but if you can't get everybody on board with it, then obviously in your position, you can't cancel it.
All right, last one from Dave. Last week in one of my leagues, the commissioner was on vacation. During that period, one of the teams in the league rostered an illegal lineup. Halfway through the period, some league banter ensued to shame the lazy owner who started the Oh. I can't believe I didn't figure out what this was. Because I know it's Dave from our podcast league. All right. Let me read the rest of it. Halfway through the period, some league banter ensued to shame the lazy owner who started the illegal lineup. He copped to the error admirably and was prepared to take his well-deserved goose egg for the week. But wait, there's more. Just then, the co-commissioner of the league, unprompted, stepped in and fixed the illegal lineup for the lazy owner. So the questions are, why would the co-commissioner do such a thing? The rules and settings of the league are clear that an illegal lineup should yield 0 points. Should the co-commissioner have done this? If so, why? And how many days after starting an illegal lineup should this be allowed?
I just want to... There are some factual errors in this.
You're the guy who set the illegal lineup. I'm the commissioner who was... on vacation. I was actually
you were not on
leave.
Vacation.
Yeah, I was on paternity
just,
leave.
You know, we need to clear that up for HR purposes.
Right.
Paternity leave, not vacation.
And Scott, was the co-commish? Scott reversed this?
I don't know that I'm officially the co-commish, but I did reverse it, yes.
Wow, so it was an unsanctioned?
Yeah, I had no idea.
You're not... Wow.
No idea.
Well, you would have done that.
I just assumed you were the commissioner.
I absolutely would have done it.
This changes everything.
I would have done it, but I don't know if I would have done it on like Wednesday or something. But yes,
the league
well,
results
was only
have been invalidated.
I'm with
the
Scott. I'm okay with
invalidated.
It. I'm okay with it. I would have done it. I think illegal lineups are stupid. I would have penalized you, like made you start someone crappy or something like that in one of your spots.
Oh, rest assured.
Here's my, I put the crappiest player he had in this lineup. Mm-hmm. And it was just a situation where, like, he didn't put a guy in a DL spot who was DL eligible.
Okay,
it wasn't like
he
was stashing somebody extra or something like that. I've always viewed the, you have a zero here because your lineup's illegal as a cue to the commissioner that something is wrong and needs to be addressed. I don't think it's fair to the rest of the league to allow someone who is fighting for a playoff spot to get a free win just because of the negligence of another owner. Like that, that doesn't seem fair to everybody else who actually has to have a legit victory. So it's less about helping the guy who had the illegal lineup and more about keeping the league competitive.
I will say, I want you guys to regulate this. Something that I've proposed in my home fantasy football league.
You got to make it quick, though.
Everybody in the league gets one mulligan per year. where you can make one lineup change at a certain point in the day or in baseball week. And that's the one you get, and you have to use it wisely. What do you think?
Eh.
Don't like it.
Stuff happens.
Don't like it.
I don't expect everybody in my fantasy baseball leagues to make going to the computer the final 10 minutes before lineups lock a priority. I think that's an unreasonable expectation. I think if they're...
No, you can keep talking, Scott.
It depends what kind of league you want to have. You know, if you want to be that cutthroat, then the league's probably not going to last long. You know,
that groove is
make it too
it's
hard.
It's so good, right? It's the
so
best.
Good that barrel bonnet. That's yeah.
It's like it's the really... ants marching of this genre. You know, and we are out of here, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll regulate tomorrow.